You're 23 years old. You got your private pilot certificate 6 weeks ago, and this morning, three of your best friends are standing in the parking lot of your home airport, waiting for you to fly them to a pancake breakfast at a grass strip 60 miles north. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to fly a scenario together. Not in the airplane. Right here, right now. Because scenario-based decision-making is the skill that separates pilots who have long careers from pilots who become case studies in an accident report. Here's the setup. It's Saturday morning, early June. You planned this trip a week ago. You checked the weather last night, and it looked fine. Scattered clouds at 5,000. Visibility 10 miles, light winds. Perfect VFR day. You told your friends to meet you at 8. But when you wake up at 6:30 and pull up the forecast on your phone, something has changed. The TAF now calls for broken clouds at 3,000 by mid-morning, with a chance of isolated thunderstorms afternoon. The current METAR at your home field shows visibility 6 miles in haze, sky condition few at 2,500, scattered at 4,000. And here's the thing. It's still technically VFR. You're legal to go, but legal and smart are not the same thing. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. Whether you're a brand new private pilot like our guy in the scenario, or you just passed your instrument check ride, they make challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private, instrument, commercial. It's a great way to mark the milestones that actually matter. AviationSoul.com. Now let's get back to our Saturday morning. Your three friends are excited. One of them has never been in a small airplane. Another one posted on social media last night that he was going flying today. The third friend drove 45 minutes to get to the airport. And you're standing in the parking lot with your kneeboard and your sectional and a knot in your stomach that you can't quite name. Let's walk through this together using a framework the FAA developed specifically for moments like this one. It's called the DECIDE model. 6 letters, 6 steps. Detect, estimate, choose, identify, do, evaluate. And if you learn to run this loop in your head automatically, it will save your life more than once. Step 1. Detect. Something has changed. The weather is not what you planned for. That's it. That's the detection. You don't need to diagnose the entire atmosphere, you just need to notice that reality no longer matches the plan. A lot of pilots skip this step entirely because they don't want to see the problem. They look at the sky, see some blue, and say good enough. But you pulled up the TAF. You saw the trend, you noticed the haze. That's detection, and you've already done something that a surprising number of accident pilots never do. Step 2. Estimate. How serious is this change? Let's think about it. The ceiling at your home field is partially obscured with clouds at 2,500 feet. Your route takes you north 60 miles to a grass strip with no weather reporting. You have no idea what the ceiling is there. The TAF says conditions are going to get worse, not better. You'll be flying back in the afternoon, which is when the thunderstorms are forecast. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Weather forecasts that say it might get worse almost never get better instead. The atmosphere doesn't read the TAF and decide to behave. If the trend is down, plan for down. Step 3. Choose. You need to pick a course of action. And this is where most pilots get stuck, because they think there are only two options. Go or don't go. But that's a false choice. There are actually at least 4 options sitting in front of you right now. Option 1. Go as planned. Fly the route. Eat the pancakes. Fly home. Option 2. Go with modifications. Maybe you delay the departure by an hour and see if the haze burns off. Maybe you fly a different route that keeps you closer to airports with instrument approaches in case you need to divert. Maybe you shorten the trip. Option 3, don't go but offer an alternative. Drive to the fly-in. It's only 60 miles. That's barely an hour in a car. You still get the pancakes. Nobody has to be disappointed. Option 4, cancel entirely. Tell your friends the weather isn't safe and reschedule for next weekend. Now, here's where the scenario gets real, because while you're running through these options in your head, 3 people are standing 10 feet away from you, and every single one of them is a link in the accident chain you need to recognize. The FAA talks about 5 hazardous attitudes that kill pilots, and I want you to see how every one of them is alive in this parking lot right now. The first one is called get-there-itis. It's the pressure to complete the trip because you said you would, you planned this. People are counting on you. The restaurant is expecting you. You told your mom you were taking your friends flying. Get-there-itis doesn't show up as a voice in your head saying, ignore the weather. It shows up as, well, it's still VFR. It shows up as, we'll keep an eye on it. It shows up as, we'll just go and see. The antidote the FAA gives you is simple. It is worth it to take a chance, and the answer is no. It is never worth it. The second hazardous attitude is invulnerability. That's the one that says accidents happen to other pilots, not me. You just passed your check ride. You feel competent, you feel ready, and you are competent. But competent and invulnerable are very different things. The antidote is, it could happen to me. The third is macho, and before you think this only applies to a certain kind of pilot, it doesn't. Macho is anytime you feel like you need to prove something. In this scenario, you have a friend who has never been in a small airplane. You want to show them what flying is like. You want to be the pilot. Canceling feels like admitting you can't handle it. The antidote is taking chances is foolish. The fourth is resignation. That sounds like, well, we're already here. Might as well go. Or the weather will probably be fine. Resignation is giving up your authority as pilot in command, and you are the pilot in command. FAR 91.3 says the pilot in command is directly responsible for and is the final authority as to the operation of that aircraft. Not your friends, not the weather app, not the social media post, you. The fifth hazardous attitude is anti-authority. That one usually shows up as the rules don't apply to this situation, like thinking VFR minimums are just guidelines or that the cloud clearance requirements in FAR 91.155 are suggestions you can fudge when you're close to your destination. Now let me give you another tool. Before you even got to the parking lot this morning, you should have run the PAVE checklist. Four letters, pilot, aircraft, environment, external pressures, pilot. Are you rested? Are you feeling well? Have you flown in the last 2 weeks? Are you current to carry passengers? Under FAR 61.57, you need 3 takeoffs and landings in the last 90 days to carry passengers. Let's assume you're current. But here's a deeper question. Are you proficient? There's a difference. Currency is a legal standard. Proficiency is an honest self-assessment. Have you flown in haze before? Have you navigated to a grass strip with no tower and no weather reporting? Have you managed 3 passengers who don't know where to put their feet and don't understand why you need them to be quiet during the traffic pattern? Aircraft, is the airplane ready for this flight? Does it have the range? Does it have the weight and balance for 4 people plus fuel? This is a detail that kills people. A lot of new private pilots have never actually loaded an airplane to gross weight. They train solo or with one instructor. They have never felt what the airplane does when it's heavy. The takeoff roll is longer. The climb rate is lower. The stall speed is higher. If you've been flying a Cessna 172, gross weight with 4 adults and full fuel may not even be possible depending on the temperature. Run the numbers. Environment. We already talked about the weather, but environment also includes the destination airport. This is a grass strip. Have you ever landed on grass? Is the strip long enough for your airplane at gross weight? What's the field elevation? Are there obstacles? Is there a published traffic pattern? Or are you going to figure it out when you get there with 3 nervous passengers? And the last letter. External pressures. This is the big one. This is everything outside the airplane that is pushing you to go, your friends in the parking lot, the social media post, the money you already spent on fuel, the fact that the restaurant stops serving pancakes at 11. None of these things have anything to do with aerodynamics or weather or the capability of your airplane, but they kill pilots every single year. The examiner on your check ride tested you on aeronautical decision-making because the airman certification standards require it. But here's what the ACS can't test. It can't put 3 friends in the parking lot. It can't make you feel the weight of disappointing people you care about. It can't simulate the feeling of standing next to an airplane on a hazy morning and wanting to be the pilot who says yes. That's what this scenario is for, so let's make the call. You've detected the change, you've estimated the risk, you've identified your options, now do something. Step 4 of the DECIDE model is identify solutions, and you've already done that. Step 5 is do it. Pick one and act on it. Here's what I would tell you as your CFI. Don't go, not because you're a bad pilot, not because the airplane can't make the trip, but because the margins are too thin. The weather is trending down. You have no destination weather. You're at or near gross weight. You've never flown with this many passengers. You've never landed on grass. And every person in that parking lot is a reason you might talk yourself into continuing when the smart play is to turn around. And here's the hardest part. When you walk over to your friends and tell them you're not going, one of them is going to be disappointed. One of them might even be annoyed. The one who drove 45 minutes might not understand why you can't just go and see. You don't owe them a meteorology lesson. You don't need to justify yourself with TAFs and METARs. You can simply say the weather isn't good enough for this trip today. Let's drive instead, or let's reschedule for next Saturday. And if they push back, remember this. No passenger has ever been hurt by a flight that didn't take off. Now, let's talk about step 6. Evaluate this is the step that makes the decide model a loop instead of a one-time decision. Even if you decide to go on a flight like this, the evaluation doesn't stop at the run-up, you keep assessing the entire time. 30 minutes in, is the visibility better or worse than you expected? Are the clouds lower? Is the haze thicker? Can you still see your checkpoints on the ground? The decide model works in the air just as well as it works in the parking lot. And the most important decision you can make during a flight is the one to turn around. I want to give you one more piece of this puzzle, personal minimums. The FAA weather minimums for VFR flight are the legal floor. 3 miles visibility, 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal from clouds. But those are minimums for a reason. They are the worst conditions the regulations allow. They are not a target. Your personal minimums should be higher than the legal minimums, especially early in your flying career. A good starting point for a new private pilot might be a ceiling of 3,000 feet, visibility of 5 miles, and crosswinds under 10 knots. You can adjust these as you gain experience, but you should write them down and commit to them before you're standing in the parking lot with pressure all around you. Because here's the truth about decision making. You don't make good decisions under pressure, you execute decisions you already made in advance. If your personal minimum say 3,000-foot ceiling and the ceiling is 2,500, the decision is already made. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to weigh the social pressure. You don't have to argue with yourself. You just look at the number and say, not today. That's the power of personal minimums. They take the hardest decision in aviation and make it automatic. Let me close the loop on our scenario. It's now 8:15 on Saturday morning. You've told your friends the flight is canceled. Two of them are already looking up directions on their phone. The third one, the one who was nervous about small airplanes, actually looks a little relieved. You pile into a car and drive 60 miles to the grass strip. You eat the pancakes, you watch the airplanes come and go. And around 11 o'clock, you notice the clouds thickening and the wind picking up. And you think about what it would have been like to be 60 miles from home in a Cessna 172 at 3,000 feet in building weather with three passengers who have never seen the inside of a cockpit. And you feel good about your decision. That's aeronautical decision-making, not the definition in the textbook. The real thing, the hard thing, the thing that happens in parking lots and on ramps and in the pattern when nobody is grading you except the sky. Most of what I talk through today comes straight from the FAA's Risk Management Handbook and Advisory Circular 60-22, which is the FAA's guide to aeronautical decision-making. Both of them are free to download and worth reading cover to cover. You can find more flight training segments like this one at radiohanger.com. Fly the airplane, make the call, and never let a plate of pancakes write the last line of your story. I'll see you next time.